Well, good morning. Good to see you all here today. Just want to start out by saying thank you so much for the love offering that you gave us a couple of weeks ago. It was very generous, and we greatly appreciate the offering, but more so your love and your support. We really appreciate your love for our family, and we love each and every one of you, and just thank you again for your generosity. Well, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Whether you're ready or not, here it comes. And hopefully you're all pretty much ready for Thanksgiving. I absolutely love this time of year. I love especially this week of Thanksgiving. That's one of my most favorite holidays, one of my most favorite times of year. We've got hunting season opened up yesterday. I didn't get anything yet, but planning to. And we've got football this week and food and shopping and food. And but most of all, I just love the time with family. I love the day that everybody has time off of work and we can get together and spend some much-needed time together. Is there a children's church this morning for the little ones? The little ones can be dismissed for children's church. So I love the time spent with family. I do find it terribly ironic, though, that the day after we celebrate how thankful we are and we focus on all that we are thankful for, we have Black Friday shopping. I'd like to know who came up with that idea. To me, that would be just a terrible idea. Why would you put the biggest shopping day of the year after the day that you're spending thinking about how thankful you are? But for people that go out Black Friday shopping, you know, if you've ever experienced it, it's fun, but it's not at the same time. People are kind of crazy, running each other over with their carts. I've actually had people take items out of my cart before, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? Put that back. It just makes you kind of wonder when you see stuff like that, how thankful are we really? You know, we say that we are, we talk about how thankful we are on Thanksgiving, but how thankful are we really when we have to get up at 4 in the morning and to go get that sale for something that we have to have? One day, my oldest daughter, Elise, asked me to get her a drink of juice. And so I got the cup and I poured her a glass of juice. And at the time, we were working on them to teach them to say thank you and please. And so I said, well, what do you say to Dad for getting you the juice? And she replied, thanks, now give me my juice. And so ever since then, I've often joked that we should change the name of Thanksgiving to thanks, now give me, because it seems a little more appropriate with Black Friday the next day. I'm not knocking Black Friday shopping. If you go Black Friday shopping, great, nothing against that. But I just, I want to talk about thankfulness this morning. Rudyard Kipling was a great British poet and story writer. He was probably most famous for his story that he wrote called The Jungle Book. He became a very famous writer even while he was still alive, and people paid him great amounts of money for his poetry and his stories. And one day a newspaper reporter came up to him and he said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money that you make from your writings amounts to over $100 per word. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, really? I certainly wasn't aware of that. The reporter cynically reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $100 bill and he handed it to Kipling and he said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words. Mr. Kipling took that $100 bill and he looked at it for a moment. He folded it up and he put it in his pocket and he replied with one word, thanks. Well, I offer to you today that the word thanks is certainly a $100 word. As a matter of fact, I offer to you today that it is worth much more than $100. I say that it's worth even more than $1 million. That is one word that is too seldom heard, and it's too rarely spoken, and even when it is, I think it's too often not really meant, only half-heartedly. Saying thank you is extremely important, because it expresses the gratefulness in our heart. And so this morning, I would like to talk to you about the magnitude of gratitude. Why is being thankful so important? I mean, why is it commanded throughout the Bible that we are to give thanks? Why are we told this? Why does God care so much if we're thankful? And what are the benefits to us of being thankful? So let's take a look at what the Bible says that giving thanks does. Giving thanks, first of all, precedes joy and happiness. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." And then Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Did you notice that both of those verses say that we are to enter God's presence, that we are to come into God's presence with thanksgiving? Enter His presence. We come with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we begin with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude in our heart, it is natural that joy and happiness follow. The Psalms often mention giving thanks with both joy and happiness, which I think is really nice, because joy and happiness are separate things. Joy is a deeper emotion of the heart, whereas happiness is a little more external. Our happiness is kind of based on external things. But I believe that God wants us to have both joy, the deep emotion of joy, and happiness as well. And according to these verses, giving thanks precedes both joy and happiness. Somebody once said, "It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy." And I don't think I could put that any better way. I am convinced that the more and more ungrateful that people are, the more unhappy they become. It's hard to have joy, and it's hard to find happiness when you're not thankful for anything. When you don't appreciate anything, it's really hard to have that joy and happiness when you are ungrateful. And that's, I think, why this time of the year is usually associated with so much joy and happiness. Because people are reflecting on things that they're thankful for, things that they're grateful for, and that just naturally makes us happy. The time around the Thanksgiving dinner table is filled with smiles and laughter. And unfortunately, I know that's not the case for everyone. For some people, this is not a very happy week. This is not a week of all smiles and laughter. And this can be a very stressful week, especially for those who are hosting Thanksgiving at their home. I wonder today, how many of you host Thanksgiving at your home? You're the host of Thanksgiving. Can I just say, thank you. If nobody else tells you thank you, I want to thank you personally for hosting Thanksgiving at your home. I know that it is a lot of work, and it is very stressful. And there are times that maybe you don't feel very thankful this week, and maybe you don't feel very happy or joyous. But I want you to know that you are appreciated. Appreciate my mom very much. She's hosted Thanksgiving a long time at their home. And I very, very much appreciate it. It can be a rough week for you people. And so I'd like to share some stories with you about some people that have had a rough Thanksgiving week. There was a lady who was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store, and she couldn't find one big enough to feed her family. How many of you ever had that problem before? You couldn't find a big enough turkey to feed all the people that were coming over. So she asked the stock boy, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" To which the stock boy replied, "No, ma'am, they're all dead." The day before Thanksgiving, a man went to a butcher shop, and the butcher was just locking up. So the man began pounding on the front door, and he said, "Please let me in. I forgot to buy the Thanksgiving turkey, and if I come home without one, my wife will be very unhappy." "Okay," said the butcher, "but I can't promise what I've got left. I don't know." So he goes back into the freezer, and he finds one scrawny little turkey that's left. And he brings it out and he shows the man. And the guy said, no way, that thing's too skinny. You got to get something else. So the butcher goes back into the freezer, waits a few moments, brings the same turkey back out again. And the man said, oh no, that one's not any better. You better give me both of them. Did you know that there is a Butterball turkey hotline that you can call? I think I discovered this last year. I didn't know there was such a thing. There's a Butterball turkey hotline that you can call. I believe they start operation tomorrow up until Thanksgiving through Thursday. So if you're struggling to get that turkey roasted to perfection, you just call 1-800-BUTTERBALL. That's 288-8372, and they can help you out. This is my opinion. All right, this isn't from the Bible this morning. This is my opinion. If you have to call a turkey hotline to figure out how to roast a turkey, don't invite me over, please. Maybe you shouldn't be in the kitchen. So anyway, they asked the workers at Butterball what some of their favorite call-ins were. And so these are some true stories of some of the workers' favorite call-ins during the week of Thanksgiving. A woman called to find out how long it would take to roast her turkey. To answer the question, the talk line operator asked how much the bird weighed. The woman responded with, I don't know, it's still running around outside. One of the questions that they ask people is how thawed the turkey is. They ask him, what state is your turkey in? How thawed is it? Is it frozen? Is it thawed or what? And so when a talk line operator asked a caller what state her turkey was in, she replied with Florida. A disappointed woman called in wondering why her turkey had no breast meat. After a conversation with the operator, it became obvious that the woman's turkey was lying on the table upside down. Oh, this one. A California lady called in because she wanted to know how to roast a turkey for her vegetarian husband. This one, I couldn't believe this one. Another California woman. Stay away from California. A California woman called in because she wanted a turkey that had all white meat. They didn't want any dark meat. And she informed them that in order to turn all the meat white, she had soaked the turkey in bleach. She was very upset when they told her to throw away the turkey and take her family out to eat. I heard that there's a prank that people have started to do on Thanksgiving. They were over at this lady's house, and the mother asked her to go to the store, to the grocery store. And while the daughter was out, she took the turkey out of the oven and had one of those little chickens and stuffed that inside the turkey. So when the daughter got back and they pulled the turkey out and they started to cut it open and they saw this little bird in there, they convinced her that the turkey had been pregnant. And the lady started... All right, last joke. How do you keep a turkey in suspense? I'll tell you at Christmas. See, it's nice to laugh, isn't it? It feels good to laugh. It feels good to have joy and laughter and happiness. I believe with all my heart that God likes to see us smile and that God likes to see us laugh and that God wants us to have joy and happiness. And that begins by having the correct attitude. We can have so much more joy and happiness in our life when we begin with the right attitude, and that's the attitude of thankfulness. It begins by entering God's presence with gratefulness. So start your time by thanking God, and joy and happiness are sure to follow. Number two, giving thanks prevents pride. Psalm 44, verse 8 says, in God we boast all the day long and give thanks to your name forever. So thankfulness causes us to boast about God instead of ourselves. Really, ungratefulness comes as a result of pride. I think that the reason that people are not thankful is because that they're proud. They feel like they deserve the good things that they get. Too many people feel like, well, society owes me. I'm owed this. They feel like the government owes them something. I even think that a lot of Christians feel like God owes them something. Well, God owes me simply because I'm His child. I deserve God's blessings. I'm a good Christian. And when we have this attitude that we are owed something and that we deserve these things, we're not really all that thankful when they come. See, James tells us every good and perfect gift, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no change or shadow of turning. See, thankfulness is recognizing that everything good that we have in life and every blessing that we have is a gift that comes from God. And that really we don't deserve any of them. But out of God's goodness and grace, He gives us good things. He blesses us because He is a good God. And so this mentality of thankfulness keeps us humble. And it helps us to resist the urge to feel pride. The third thing that giving thanks does, giving thanks promotes an attitude that is in line with God's. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If I were to ask you this morning, what do you think God's will for your life is? Sit down and write a list of things that you think that is God's will for your life. You would maybe have quite a list. But I wonder how many times thankfulness would be on that list. That God's will for my life is for me to be thankful. For me to be a thankful person. I think we too often forget that. That thankfulness is part of God's will for our life. It is His desire and His wish that we have an attitude of gratefulness. And that we express that through our thankfulness. So that brings the question, is God thankful? What does God have to be thankful for? Right? Is God a God of gratitude? Is He grateful? And the answer is yes, He is. We know this because Jesus, God in flesh, living on the earth, modeled thankfulness. There are several moments where Jesus gave thanks. And it's actually pretty profound. Jesus gave thanks one time when feeding the multitudes. Right before Jesus performs what we consider to be one of the biggest miracles of His life, He gave thanks. Jesus, it says in John 6:11, Jesus then took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise they distributed the fish as much as they wanted. But Jesus gave thanks for the food right before He performed a miracle. Jesus also gave thanks at Lazarus' resurrection. In John 11:41 it says, "So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and He said, 'Father, I thank You that You have heard Me.'" Again, before Jesus performs another miracle, raising somebody from the dead, He gave thanks. He also gave thanks at the Last Supper. As a matter of fact, 3 out of the 4 Gospels record the fact that Jesus gave thanks at the Last Supper. To me, if 3 out of 4 people take the time to point that out, it must mean something. It must be pretty important. It must have really stuck out to them that Jesus gave thanks at the Last Supper, the night before His crucifixion. I mean, really, how amazing to think about this. That while Jesus was breaking the bread, He's imagining His body being torn to shreds the next day. As He's pouring the juice into the cups, He's imagining His blood being poured out of His body in just a few short hours. And yet with that image, He gave thanks. And I don't think Jesus was just giving thanks for the food that they were about to eat. He was giving thanks that he was the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He was giving thanks that his body was going to be broken. And he was giving thanks that his blood was going to be shed. And I don't know if the disciples realized that at that moment, but I think later on they did. And that's why three of the four Gospels record the fact that Jesus gave thanks that he was going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. What depth of thankfulness. As a matter of fact, after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, he was walking down the road and talking to some of his disciples. And they didn't recognize Jesus at first. They didn't recognize Jesus for quite some time. And, you know, they're talking about the scriptures. They're talking about life. And do you know how they finally figured out who Jesus was? When they finally recognized him? It was in the way that he gave thanks. Because they entered a house and they sat down to eat. And Luke 24 tells us, as he sat at supper with them, he took the bread, blessed it. That word blessed also means gave thanks for it, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Jesus was recognized by the way that he gave thanks. He wasn't even recognized by the way he was talking about the Bible with them, but in the way that he gave thanks. If Jesus was recognized by the way that he gave thanks, that is really saying something about how much he expressed his gratitude and his thankfulness. So when we express thankfulness and when we express gratitude, we are aligning our attitude with Christ, with God's. The fourth thing that giving thanks does for us is it provides better physical health. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, make your requests known to God." I already mentioned that ungratefulness steals your joy and happiness from your life. If ungratefulness takes the joy and happiness out of your life, that can have very negative effects on your health. Because when there's no joy, depression can grow. And depression is a serious problem today. It is a very serious issue that we face today. And not just in our country, even worldwide. There are statistics that say that 7% of Americans struggle with serious depression in a given year. That's 16 million Americans who struggle with serious depression every single year. According to the World Health Organization, there are 350 million people worldwide who are struggling with serious depression. And did you know this? Depression is the second leading cause for disability in America. The second leading cause for disability. Now, I'm not saying that if you just all of a sudden start being grateful and start saying thank you, that it's going to change all that. All right? I'm not saying that. There are times where maybe you need to seek some medical help for serious depression. But I promise you this, God's Word says that giving thanks brings joy and happiness. And I promise you that it will help. It will help to counter the feelings of depression and sadness. And in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he states that in order to counter anxiety, which is another serious health issue that people face, you must pray and make your requests known to God with gratitude. Gratitude counters worry. It counters anxiety because it puts your focus in the right place. When you're focusing on all that you're thankful to God for and all that He's done, you tend to not worry about the things that He hasn't done and the things that you're still facing. There was a study done a couple of years ago with some college students, and they had a really important test coming up. And so they took half of the students and they had them write a list of all the things that they were thankful for. Everything that they could think of that they were thankful for. And the other half of students, they had them write a list of everything that was stressing them out, that they were worried and anxious about. And so then the next day they took this important test. And the results showed that the students that had written the list of everything that they were thankful for scored much higher on the test than the other students. And they said that focusing on what they were grateful for caused them to stay more relaxed. And they reported sleeping better, eating better, and felt more mentally and physically ready for the test than the other students. Again, I'm not saying that thankfulness is the cure to all of your health problems, but I promise you that it will help physically. I know this because it's what the Bible promises. The fifth thing that giving thanks does is it places life in proper perspective. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I want you to notice the first word of that verse is the key to thankfulness. Just a small two-letter word, but it is very important. And that is the word "in." It says to give thanks in everything, but it doesn't say to give thanks for everything. See, I think the idea is that we are to be thankful in our situations. We are to be thankful in our circumstances of life, and not just thankful for the objects or the things that we have. This is really what true thankfulness is. True thankfulness is being thankful no matter what situation and no matter what your circumstance is. It's easy to be thankful for things, right? It's easy to be thankful, especially for good things. It's easy to be thankful for good health. When you have good health, it's easy to be thankful for that. It's easy to be thankful when you are financially secure. It's easy to be thankful for a solid marriage. It's easy to be thankful for your dream home. It's easy to be thankful for a nice car. It's easy to be thankful when you shoot that big buck on Saturday morning. But what happens when those things are taken away? What happens when those things are gone? I think that Job is a beautiful illustration for this point of someone that was thankful in everything and not just for everything. Job lost everything. He lost his children, his cattle, his servants, his buildings, his health, his crops. Lost everything. And yet in that moment, he could still look to heaven and say, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I'm going to bless him anyway. I'm still going to be thankful anyway." Or like Paul, who said, "I have learned that no matter what state I'm in, to be thankful. Whether I'm in need or whether I have much, whether I'm poor, whether I'm rich, whether I'm in good health, whether I'm sick, that I can be content or thankful." Being thankful puts life in a proper perspective, because life isn't just about good health. It's not just about money. It's not just about nice things. And then we can and we should be thankful for those things. But I think even much more on a deeper level, can we truly say that we are thankful in all things and not just for all things? And then number six, giving thanks prepares us for worship. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." So we are to enter God's presence with an attitude of thankfulness, our hearts full of gratitude. And I believe that this prepares us for a deeper level of worship. As a matter of fact, the word thanks throughout the Psalms is often translated as praise as well. Giving thanks is a form of praise. Giving thanks is praise. Have you ever gotten to church Sunday morning and just didn't really feel in the mood to worship? You just weren't like in the emotion of the moment, you know? You just didn't feel like raising your hands, didn't feel like singing. You just didn't really feel in the mood. Maybe it had been a rough morning, and you just weren't feeling the motivation. I think that the key is to enter God's presence with an attitude of thankfulness. It says, enter His gates. The temple was just a small building. Then it had a large courtyard and gates that entered into the courtyard. Before they even entered the courtyard, they were supposed to enter through those gates with an attitude of thankfulness, of gratefulness to God. I believe that being thankful to God kickstarts our praise. And when you start to thank God, and when you start to praise Him and thank Him for all that He has done in your life, you can't help but start to worship God for all that He's done. It kickstarts the attitude of worship. So I encourage you, this is something I've been doing on a personal level. When I begin my time with God, when I begin my devotions, I start out by thanking God. Before I open the Bible, before I start reading, before I just start praying for requests, I begin by thanking God for all that He has done and just focusing on God's goodness and being grateful to Him. And I promise you, if you do that, when you come to church, spend time thanking God on the way to church as a family. Say, hey kids, what can we thank God for today? And start listing those things and come with an attitude of thankfulness and an attitude of gratefulness. It will deepen your worship. In closing, I want to just look at a few things that we can thank God for this Thanksgiving. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalm 136? I read this psalm a few weeks ago, and it just kind of stuck out to me, and so I've been focusing on this psalm as we come up to Thanksgiving. I believe that this psalm tells us a few things that we can be thankful to God for, and so this is what I've been focusing on thanking God for as we approach Thanksgiving. So a few things that we can thank God for. First of all, His person. Let's begin reading at verse 1 in Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. So we can thank God for His person. Thank God for who He is. We can spend time thanking God for His character. Spend time praising Him for who He is. Get to know God. Get to know His personality and all the attributes of God. He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. He's merciful. He's just. He's righteous. He's holy. I mean, if you want to do a little Bible study, look up all the attributes of God and spend time thanking Him for who He is, for His person. This psalm tells us a few things about God's character. He's good. That's what it says in verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. God is good. Everything He does is good. He never does anything wrong, never does anything bad. He never makes a mistake. He's always good. He's also merciful. 26 times this psalm tells us that God's mercy endures forever. I think we are to get the idea that God's mercy lasts forever. This is a phenomenal idea. There's another verse that says that God's mercy is new every morning. How does a new sunrise regenerate new mercy in God? I don't know, but it does. His mercy never runs out. His mercy is everlasting. It also tells us that He is above all. It tells us that He is Lord of lords. That means that God is ruler over any human ruler. No matter how powerful a person, a human being becomes, God is more powerful. He is above any king. He is above any queen. He is above any admiral, bishop, cardinal, duke, emperor, foreign minister, governor, royal highness, imam, pope, saint, majesty, lord, or president. He is the King of Kings. And He is also, it tells us, the God of gods. And this means that he is ruler over the spiritual realm as well. He is more powerful, and he has rule over Zeus, Ares, Apollo, Buddha, Aphrodite, Thor, Hercules, and Satan. He is the God of gods. And we can also thank God for his power. So thank God for his person, also thank God for his power. In verse 4, I'm just going to read the first parts of these verses. To him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who stretched out the earth above the waters, to him who made the great heavenly lights, the sun to rule over the day, and the moon and stars to rule over the night. God is the creator of all things. It was his power that stretched out the heavens. I was telling the kids in youth group, where do you think we get our word universe from? The word una means one, and verse is a spoken word. The universe is one spoken word because God spoke it into existence. And it mentions stars, that he made the moon and stars to rule over the night. But think about how amazing stars are. Stars are pretty cool. Did you know that a lot of the stars are actually bigger and brighter than the sun? They're just further away, so they don't appear that way. They estimate that there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy, in the Milky Way galaxy. And that's just our galaxy. There's so much more beyond that. But yet the Bible tells us that God knows the exact number of the stars. There's no way that we could really count and number all of the stars. But the Bible tells us that God knows the number of the stars. In Psalms 147:4, it says, he counts the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. Not only that, but stars are so far away that if you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, right? I'm happy when I reach 100 miles an hour. Can you imagine 186,000 miles per second? If you could travel that fast, it would still take you 7 years to arrive at a star. As a matter of fact, if a star were to burn out right now, we would continue to see its light for 7 more years. How about the sun? The sun, it mentions. The sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. That's really close compared to all the other stars and stuff. 93 million miles away from Earth. But yet God placed it right there in the perfect spot to sustain life on our planet, to give us warmth and sustain life here. A long time ago, NASA sent out into space a camera called Voyager. And Voyager travels around and it takes pictures and it sends them back to Earth. Well, Voyager traveled an amazing 3.7 billion miles away from Earth. And it took a picture and it sent it back to NASA. And this might be hard to see. This is the picture that it took. It's kind of grainy. It traveled 3.7 billion miles wirelessly to get to NASA. But if you notice on the right, there's a beam of sunlight. And do you notice there's a speck right there that looks a little bit brighter than all the other specks? You see that? That speck is planet Earth. From 3.7 billion miles away. On the right, that's a little bit more blown up. What it looks like. One of the most incredible pictures that I've ever seen from 3.7 billion miles away of Earth. That speck of dust is the planet that we live on. That is our planet Earth. Makes you feel pretty small when you think about the vastness of the universe. But more importantly, makes you realize how big God is. We serve a big God with all the power. Nobody compares to him. Nobody even comes close to having power like God. And that power, he's invested into us as his children. So we can thank God for his power. No matter what problems we're up against, no matter what we face in life, he's definitely big enough to handle them. And we can thank God for his purposes. Verses 10 through 22, the psalmist talks about how God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and that God had a plan for them. God had a purpose for them. And I want you to know today that God has a plan for your life, and He has a purpose for your life. God made you on purpose for a purpose. There's no mistake that you're here. It was no accident that God made you. God made each person as His special creation with a plan and a purpose for their life. So thank God for His purposes. And then lastly, thank God for His provision. Verses 23 through the end of the chapter says, "Who remembered us in our low place, for His mercy endures forever, and He has redeemed us from our enemies. Who gives food to all people, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." So thank God for His provision, that He provides all that we need. And according to these verses, He provides for us in two areas. He provides for us spiritually. He saw us in our lowest place, in need of forgiveness, in need of a Savior. God has seen us at our worst. And yet, in that state, He redeemed us. He purchased us, He paid the price, and He bought us. And He also provides for our physical needs, it says. He gives food to all people. So thank God for His provision. Maybe you would join with me in thanking God for these four things this week as we come up to Thanksgiving. Thank God for His person, for His power, for His purpose, and His provision. Could I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? I've asked the worship team to come lead us in a final song. And as they come, just think a moment about gratitude. How important is thankfulness? How important is it really to be grateful? Well, I offer to you this morning that it's priceless. That a Christian truly cannot survive properly without being thankful. Because it brings joy and happiness. It prevents pride. It keeps our attitude in line with God's. And provides better physical health, keeps a proper perspective on life, and it deepens our worship. And so, this morning, I'd like for you to search your heart and ask yourself this question. Am I thankful for things, or can I honestly say that I am thankful in all things? Because I really think that is the key of what true thankfulness is. It's something that God's been working on my heart. I know it's so easy to be thankful for things. But what about when things aren't going so well? What about when things are taken away? Can we still be thankful? I wonder if you just pray and say, "Lord, I pray that You would help me to learn to be thankful in all things. I'm thankful for all the things that You've done. I'm thankful for the blessings, and I'm thankful for the gifts. But God, help me this year to be thankful in everything." Lord, we do thank You for Your love and Your mercy, and we thank You for providing our spiritual needs, that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank You that You redeemed us and You purchased us. And Lord, I pray that You would truly help us to be thankful in every situation, Lord, that we would be truly grateful to You. And Lord, we just praise You and we worship You for who You are. We thank You for Your power, for Your might and Your majesty. Help us to worship You on a deeper level than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand?
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. We sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Struck wonder at the mention of Your name.